What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to a very special Bachelorette recap of the Vile Files. I'm your host, Nick, and we have the team, Ellie, Amanda, and Chrissy with us, and a very fan favorite Bachelorette recapper, Dave Holmes.
Thank you for having me.
It's so nice to have you back.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. I'm feeling good.
You're feeling good. You have notes.
I have notes.
We're excited about that.
Uh-huh. Lot to get into.
We have so much to get into. Before we do, just a quick reminder, we do have the one and only Bachelorette, Katie, with us.
What?
Yeah.
When?
Tomorrow.
Ah!
Well, Wednesday. I don't know if you're listening to this on Monday or Tuesday. She'll be here tonight.
So we're
going to interview her tonight. It'll come out Wednesday morning.
Okay.
First thing.
Okay. Am I going to meet Katie? On the way out?
She won't be here until tonight. But you're welcome to come back
if you want to. Maybe I'll come back.
Yeah.
You're vaccinated. So I am vaccinated. I'm doubly vaccinated.
And I think we'll discuss some. I have some specific questions I want to ask Katie.
Okay. All right.
So let's just get into it, shall we?
Absolutely. I'm ready.
I have a lot to say. But let's just always start with quick thoughts on this season. Katie is the Bachelorette. How you feeling?
I mean, last night had me feeling a way that is kind of my watchword for this episode, which is vulnerable.
Which is what?
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable.
Everybody says that word in the same way, and it's vulnerable.
Vulnerable.
He's being really open and vulnerable. I'm really emotionally vulnerable.
I'm sure I've said vulnerable as someone who mumbles when he gets nervous.
But you just said vulnerable. Everybody on this season
vulnerable.
Says vulnerable. It's the weirdest goddamn thing.
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable. Listen, I'm telling you. Anyway, it had me feeling very vulnerable. And I feel, I almost feel bad for our boy Thomas.
Get ready, because I will be defending Thomas
this
entire recap.
Even though his reputation was demonsterized?
Yes, which he didn't say, by the way.
What?
Thomas did not say that. There was a lot of putting words in Thomas's mouth.
But I saw his mouth do it.
Did he? Well, what did... Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Maybe he said that.
He said
he was ostracized.
Ostracized. He said demonsterized.
Which is that a word?
It is now. It is now. Language is fluid. He has created a word. It's a word now. We got
to
live with it.
I am not one to talk. But yeah, there was a lot of putting words in Thomas's mouth this episode.
Yeah.
And for a lot of accusations that were coming towards Thomas's direction about him being a liar and manipulative, there was a lot of lying and manipulation going on by the house. That's the only lying and manipulation I saw this episode.
Thank you.
Was from all the guys in the house. And potentially even, dare I say, Caitlin and Tayshia. Now, they may be simply just doing their job.
Yeah.
But Katie was getting gassed up the whole episode.
She sure was.
On how shitty Thomas is. Which is interesting because I am not saying, and I'm not backtracking from what I said last week. I met Thomas. My impression of Thomas amongst the other nine guys I met was... Thomas sounds like he's full of shit.
Yeah.
Thomas talks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd necessarily buy Thomas's sincerity.
Very defensive right off the bat.
So I thought that, right? Now, I don't know Thomas. I met him for a couple hours, and he might be a little full of shit, but it doesn't necessarily make him all these other things.
No.
Especially in this world of... expectations of falling in love.
Also, consider where you are. You're on a TV show, right? You have been selected to be on a TV show. That means that you are kind of silver-tongued in a way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You are kind of good at this sort of thing. There's no way that he's the only one of these guys who was like, I wonder what would happen after for me if she doesn't pick me. You're thinking about being The Bachelor. You're thinking about going on Paradise, right?
100%.
It's in the back of your mind.
They all are. I remember when I was The Bachelor that every time I'd send a girl home, they would immediately text a producer about Paradise.
Really?
Immediately. Within like less than a day.
That makes sense.
Fine.
That makes complete sense.
It's fine. It didn't work out for you here.
Yeah.
You should want to go in Paris. It's a great time.
But the way that they talk about Thomas immediately in this episode made me wonder whether there was an episode that I missed.
When I talk to Katie tonight, I have two questions for Katie, because when you are the lead, when you watch the episodes back, a good chunk of what you see, you are seeing for the first time.
Yeah.
20-30% of it. So I wonder if either Katie A will watch it back and wish she would have played things differently, mm-hmm. knowing that these guys gassed her up a little bit.
Yeah.
Or are there things that happened with Thomas that we didn't get to see?
Right.
Did Thomas, you know, like take a bat to someone's kneecap while they were sleeping? Or steal someone's money,
right?
Or plant like drugs in one of their bags and try to get them. Like, did mm-hmm. he do some really evil shit that they just didn't air?
Didn't seem like it. Just seemed like he was a little full of himself and then honest when he was asked if he had.
Yeah. So the episode opens up with Thomas jogging and these guys are all talking shit. And then
feeling his light, knowing his angles, running slowly, making sure they have lots of footage.
Thomas' biggest crime, I think, is being good looking.
Yeah. Handsome guy.
And he does talk a lot. So he's talking to Courtney, mm-hmm. who's lifting weights. I know a lot of bullshitters.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of them have been on The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And I've never heard any of those people that I think of as bullshitters own that they often talk like politicians.
Yes.
And admit that they can do that sometimes.
Right.
And yet we heard Thomas pretty quickly be like, yeah, I fucking do that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And don't we all sometimes have bad habit? Like I sometimes, when I get excited, will wait to speak rather than listen.
Mm-hmm.
My whole life. It's there a bad habit I have. I try to work on it. When I get called out for it, I get really insecure and sometimes defensive, but I know I'm fucking guilty of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, yeah, I fucking did that.
Yeah.
And when Thomas like owned up to that, to me, it was like it's almost like he's like, yeah, I fucking did it again.
Yeah.
Why do I fucking do that?
Yeah.
You know, nervous energy, maybe, I don't know. But I don't know a lot of people who own up to those things. And to me, that was another like, okay, there's Thomas. There's some honesty there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
I wasn't listening to anything you said. I'm kidding. He just admitted what everybody else is doing, but hypnotizing themselves into thinking is normal. You know what I mean? Which is talking in bites that are going to sound good and look good on TV.
Yeah.
He just handled it honestly.
Yes.
I think that's it.
And I think Thomas, throughout the whole episode, even when he was talking to Katie, he was still guilty of saying things that I don't think they had a lot of credibility.
Right.
Like, where is this connection you so believe in, mm-hmm. Thomas, when it comes to your connection with Katie?
Now, when it came to his visit to her hotel room, then things got a little dicey. Then he was really, like, just talking flowery language that meant nothing. And then the apology to her and the rest of the guys during the rose ceremony was very insincere. But
you thought that was insincere?
I do, yeah. It was too many words to say too little.
But I found myself at that point, especially at the end of the episode, mm-hmm. just being like, this, I do know what it's like to feel ostracized by the house. When Thomas goes to Katie and says, I don't have a lot of friends in this house, that's not Thomas trying to manipulate Katie. That's a very vulnerable thing to admit.
It's vulnerable.
In that environment,
mm-hmm.
like you don't want to, like, you see everyone brewing out and best friends and be like, you guys fucking hate me. And you're just like, I mean, you asked me a question and I gave a very honest response.
Right.
I might be guilty for that thing I thought,
mm-hmm.
no doubt, but yet everyone, like the reaction from the house was as if it was absurd that any of them ever thought, the crime is thinking
mm-hmm.
that you could be the Bachelor.
This is insane.
And apparently none of the guys thought it.
Yeah. It's insane. It's truly the way that they all encouraged each other against him made the whole thing go out of control.
Out of control.
It is like a PTA meeting about critical race theory right now. Like it's just suddenly everybody's mad about this thing that they don't know what it is, but they're encouraging each other and it's just like it just snowballs. Yeah. It gets completely
out of
control.
No one's really taking the time to figure it out.
No.
Either side, and everyone's just they saw something on the internet
right.
and they're running with it.
Yeah.
So Thomas owns up to this.
Yeah.
We're seeing,
not mad at Thomas.
Yeah, and
he'll show up in Paradise. Can we agree?
Oh yes.
I mean, and not The Bachelor. There's no way.
No redemption story. I think is a Bruin for Thomas.
Okay,
he usually plays out that way. And after and again, I say this having met Thomas and thinking he was full of shit.
Yeah,
and had a way of kind of just not really thinking about his sincerity of his words. But just to point out how...
Sorry.
How, no, no, no.
No, go.
Please, you never apologize.
Please.
Dave.
Go.
I had Allie do some research.
Okay.
And Allie, if you could find your findings. I asked Allie to kind of peruse the men's Instagrams.
I see.
And I asked how many posts that they posted specific about The Bachelor. This is not even just selfies or glam shots, but specific to their time on the show, promoting their appearance.
We've done detective
work. And I think the results are quite, you know, maybe surprising.
Demonstrizing?
Yeah, demonstrizing. Okay. Allie, if you could just let us know what we found out about the men's social media activity as it relates to promoting their appearance on the show.
Okay. Yeah, so I have their posts since they got on the show, including everything like personal or Bachelor related. Yeah. And some people have been really, really quiet, and some people have just blown up.
Okay.
Like, I thought it was interesting that James, the box guy,
is
like very good looking. I would have thought that he'd be really on social media.
Yeah.
And he has posts from like 20 plus weeks ago, one from like 8 weeks ago, and then yesterday, two posts about Bachelor. Like,
okay.
So now he's trying to like pick up speed.
So, yeah, what does this tell us?
Yeah. I don't.
First of all, I don't have a problem with any of this. I'm just pointing out that it's all happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Connor B has been blowing up Instagram. Like Connor, every week he has a new promo. He has screenshots. Like
Connor B.
He has
he's my fave.
He has images that I feel like Getty Images should pay him for. Like he's on it. He's ready to go.
He might have an intern.
Like maybe. I don't know. Should it be me? I don't know.
He's a spin teacher too, right?
Is he? Everywhere.
Not that I haven't. I've been on his.
He's a teacher, a spin class. Yeah, because I saw someone on TikTok went to his spin class.
Oh, boy.
And apparently it was really hard. Like, what does he not do? I'm confused. Okay.
The dude's got time.
Greg
on his
has
hands.
Been really quiet. He did a screenshot from night one, Greg. And then he did a tribute for Father's Day, but that was it.
Okay.
Courtney, posted a lot. He's really going for
14
it.
14 posts about The Bachelor.
Oh, not just about The Bachelor, just
for
in
that
general.
Nutrition entrepreneur.
Yeah, that nutrition entrepreneur is trying to start a business. What I thought was interesting is I feel like Hunter is trying to be the next Nick Viall because he's posting all this life advice. He's using the same caption app that we use on TikTok.
What?
He is like trying to coach up his followers.
He is... I've never seen anyone more destined for paradise than Hunter.
Yeah.
He's got it written all over him, doesn't he?
I mean, I'm sure he'll try. I don't know if he'll get there. They have a lot of competition.
I'm sure he, but he's...
Yeah, I mean, again,
he's made for it.
Obviously, with our Ask Nick stuff, you know, sometimes on my TikTok, it's a little like,
I just
self-help a little bit. But like, I didn't start doing that until like a year and a half after I was The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter's 3 weeks in.
You've carved
a path. He's already letting people know, hey, just so you know, I have some insightful things to say. Which, again, is fine, but there's a little bit of brand marketing going on there for Hunter, is it not? So, yeah, all these guys are posting. Uh-huh. They also, as I've said, short of them not having social media, then they are all aware and they've all thought about how many followers they might get out of it.
Yeah.
Or could.
How many followers does, let's say, a Connor have now?
I don't know. We know? And their follower count isn't necessarily relevant.
Hey, when it comes to money, you only want to work with people you trust. Can I get anyone to disagree with me? No, I can't because I'm right. And Credit Karma is a company you know, you love, you trust. I trust them. I trusted them when I was going through the buying process of my house when it came to making sure I had the best possible credit score. And now you can also trust Credit Karma when it comes to spending money. That's right. With Credit Karma Money Spend Account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Who doesn't want instant gratification? And if you're looking for satisfaction, there is no need to wait. With Credit Karma Money, you can win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. When you use Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily Instant Karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. $50. That's right. And when you make a purchase between July 1st and July 23rd, you will automatically be entered to win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. Credit Karma money. Progress starts here. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated, member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
Michael. Mm-hmm. To me, go ahead, Ellie.
Connor B has 22,400.
Okay. Yeah. Respectable.
Did we talk about what Thomas has on his Instagram?
Oh, yeah.
Thomas has almost nothing.
Thomas has literally the least amount on social media out of all the guys.
Wow. Hmm. Interesting.
Okay. That means something. I don't know what, but it means something, right?
Maybe it could mean that he knows what he's going to be accused of.
And he has five posts total and 4,000 followers. Like, it's almost like a weird... Like, I thought it was a fan account at first. I was like, this can't be real.
Yeah. Huh. Because, like, he is objectively an attractive person. Yeah. And he definitely had a lot of fans early on. You'd think they would follow a guy they would find traditionally handsome.
How did you find his Instagram account? Like, is it on his page on abc.com?
So I pulled up an article someone wrote an article at the beginning of the season. It was like, here's how you can follow Katie's contestants. And then I went to like their profiles. Okay. But yeah, his always struck me as weird because I was like, is this even you? It's so small.
Strange.
So,
but also he's not building a brand. Yeah. It doesn't seem like he's not capitalizing on his time on The Bachelorette.
He needs an advisor. He needs an intern.
Oh yeah.
I'm just a social media intern.
You know, Natalie and I were watching it last night, and Natalie, when Michael, towards the end of the episode, was talking to Katie, and Natalie just pointed out just how awkward Michael is, and not necessarily as a criticism, but he does. He looks awkward. He touches his face a lot, and I'm just like, been there. Sure. I looked really awkward often, both with Andy and Kaylee, even the touching the face, and I
don't remember you that way,
and I don't even mean that as a bad thing. What I like. You know, whether both times I had genuine, like I really liked Andy. Mm-hmm. I really liked Caitlin, you know, different situations, but I did. When Blake was on Becca's season, I could see Blake really liked Becca. I could see it. And I see a lot of guys, you know, liking the leads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
I feel a connection. Sure. I like you. You like me back. But like there are... Once in a while, you see people who are like, they're holy shit. They're falling in love and they are as shocked as anyone. Yeah. And when I see Michael, he's the only one where I see this authentic, like, I can't believe I'm here. You know, like I went through all this stuff in my personal life. I can imagine Michael in his head being like, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe she likes me. I can't believe I like her. This all feels kismic. Is it like, I can feel and see this like, overwhelming amount of stimulation and sensation, and that's where I see this awkwardness. And he's the only one where everything that comes out of his mouth, I think, is 100% sincere. And I don't criticize anyone else for that because it's a crazy world. And I like Greg. I think he likes Katie.
Right.
I really do. And I think Greg's doing a great job. But I think Greg isn't like. I think Greg's so far very much in control of his emotions and feelings.
Okay.
Where I don't think Michael is at this point.
Yeah, and one of them, there's controversy with one of them later in the season, right? Like there was sort of a supercut for the rest of the
who knows
season.
If it's a supercut, but yeah.
And I was wondering which one of them it was, and I kind of almost felt like it was Michael just because you can kind of see him, and you've described this a little bit, and Rachel's piece in Vulture last week describes this a little bit, of the thing of, like, you're in the mansion or whatever, and you're a little bit sleep-deprived, and you're drinking a lot, and things are weird, and so you do start to develop feelings for people that are sort of genuine, but also sort of the tactics that cults use to get
you to
stay,
stuck in a world with no distractions and a goal.
Right. So I think Michael is beginning to have those feelings, but might in a couple of weeks realize like, oh, I have a child.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like he might like splash some water on his face and be like, oh, this is, I'm like, there's a kid here.
We'll
and
see.
I should maybe pull out.
But right now we see Michael completely he's like blacked out, you know, like he's blacked out with his feelings. And I see it, and it's endearing. It's great.
Yeah, like, I like him.
Because you don't see it that often. And that's, again, not a criticism to anyone else, but it is still early. And that's, again, that's where Thomas does make the mistake, is that Thomas is trying to talk like Michael. Thomas is trying to come across like Michael.
Right.
And those feelings just can't be there. They're not there. He hasn't had enough time with Katie for them to be there. And that's where Thomas gets himself in trouble.
You know what? You bring up a good point. Thomas is 28, right? So, and the show's been on for 20 years, right? So essentially, Thomas has never known a life without it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's almost like after season 6 or 7 of The Real World, it, like, you know, the first season of The Real World, which is on Paramount Plus, go watch it. It's amazing. It feels like a Ken Burns documentary. Like, it's slow paced.
You should go back and watch
it. You really should. It's great. And it's like, it is so the first of its kind that, like, in interviews, nobody knows what they're supposed to be looking at. Like, it's awkward. They don't go in expecting to play a character, you know, or expecting to, like, milk a dramatic moment or anything like that. So, you know, from the second season on, people kind of had a sense for what it was. But from the 6th or 7th, it started to attract people who had been raised on it and started talking like people who were on The Real World, just in real life, and then a heightened version of that. And then it just got, it spun out and got crazier.
Yeah.
And then people just were fucking in a hot tub, episode 1, right? So this is like, Thomas, I think, has been raised on people who were talking about, you know, whether they're here for the right reasons.
You see it every season, whatever. Like this, it's, but you're right. That's a perfect example, is that it's just how the show has evolved.
Yeah.
It just is what it is. And I guess it's the job of the producers to decide if they want to break a fourth wall or lean into, like, the fact that these people, you know, have been raised on it and through no fault of their own, just by default, come in with, like, this built in, inauthenticity.
Right.
Is that a,
that's a word.
You know, because they can't help themselves.
Right.
Because they're human. Because they just, you just know kind of how it works. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to be that self-aware in this insane world where you have no support system, no attachment to the outside world, and truly and stay true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is going to be an explosive men tell-all.
Yeah.
Can we agree?
It will be. Yeah. Can't wait.
The Thomas segment.
So we then get into the group date.
Yes.
Which is about, you know, if last week's, you know, date with me was a little different and a more heavy.
I enjoyed that, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Great job.
Yeah.
Great job. Got them all very vulnerable.
Got them all vulnerable. They lightened it up, which I like. You know, if you're going to get heavy, you got to get light, right? And not everything can be so heavy and intimate. But it was one of those classic, like, obstacle course.
Yeah.
Obviously, a different version of it.
Truth or Dare obstacle course.
Yeah. Katie spends literally no time with any of them. She just watches the guys bro out.
Yes.
You know, when you wonder why these guys all fall in love with each other and make friendships, because they spend all this time with each other and have, like, these fun kind of goofy things, you know, regardless of what age they are, early 20s, mid 20s, early 30s, mid whatever. It's a very high school, college experience. And you go back to those kind of bonding moments you have with your friends that maybe some of them, like, quite honestly, haven't had in a while because they're just older. And it really connects you with your cast of people.
When do you have an opportunity to take off work and do a truth or dare obstacle course with a bunch of strangers?
You don't.
It's a rare opportunity. I think it was Mike, it was our gym owner.
Yes.
Had to eat.
Yeah.
Twinkies. Our gym owner from,
And Mike reveals that he hasn't had a carb in 7 years.
I believe him.
He's a virgin, and I'm just.
He's a virgin? I didn't know that.
Did you not watch
that? How did that get past me?
What are you talking about?
How did I get past you?
Did you not watch last week's?
I did,
when
but.
He cried about, like, he told a story.
I guess I missed that.
Oh, you missed it. It was.
Oh, wow.
It was for me the best explanation of why you're a virgin.
Uh huh.
And it was just like, hey, listen, I just, whether I agree or disagree, he was just like, I just think it's something I want to give to my wife whenever it is. And it was like this, you know, I was like, all right, well, I wouldn't do that. But, like, I buy that.
Okay.
Like, it seems like he had a clear understanding of why he was choosing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I liked that he seemed to have an understanding.
Okay.
A lot of times it's people like, I don't know, I just, just one of those things that just happened, and then I just didn't. He's not having sex and he's not eating carbs, and I'm just wondering, what are you doing that gets you, like, you need some sort of release, man, because like
burpees,
have some bread. It's really good sometimes. And I'm just worried. Worried for him that he might need an outlet.
He could blow
at some point. He seems like a really nice guy.
He's doing those weird CrossFit pull-ups. He's only being a gym owner. But
very
he does
focused
say,
man.
Very focused.
Very focused man.
It's an obscene amount of carbohydrates, like an unhealthy amount of carbohydrates for one sitting. I hope he didn't actually have to eat that entire tray.
I'm guessing he didn't finish.
Yeah, I'm guessing he didn't finish too. But he did say, hey, if I get fat, she better still love me when I'm older. What does that mean?
It was a weird thing to say.
It was a weird, like, if I get fat, she better still love me, period. Or she better still love me when I'm older. Period. Like, those two things together don't.
I mean,
quite
listen.
Go
if
Mike.
I were, I'm not a therapist. Right. If Michael were to call me up and be like, "Hey, this is my story," I would be like, "Hey, just be careful. You're not building these unobtainable expectations for your future partner for all the things you're giving up for them now."
Yes.
Because that that line of "she better this because I'm doing this now" is my guess. If I were to like be a fly on the wall of his future relationship, he might struggle with some built-in expectations he's had because he's done all this sacrificing for his partner who he hasn't even met yet.
Yeah, for an illusion.
Yeah,
that's a tough one. That's a very tough one. The whispering into the ear challenge brought me great discomfort. I could not handle it. I just couldn't handle it. The naming of the states, I didn't
see
what
weird,
that was about.
We liked Andrew. It was fun. His British accent worked for me.
He said, "I wanted to treat it like I knew you in a bar." I don't know what that means, but you know,
Andrew said that.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. But I appreciated it.
I personally think that Andrew pitched a perfect game this episode.
I think you're right.
He did everything right. I don't think I've ever seen a more complete performance.
Wow. Yeah. No. I agree. Yeah,
because again, you know, Allie is our professional accent person who's really good at them. So she's hypercritical of any accents. But like, I thought it was fun.
He
didn't take it too seriously. He was laughing. He was goofing around.
And he made good points about Thomas. Right?
Excellent points.
Let's
get into that.
Deal out of it. Yeah,
we'll get into that in a second. Okay. And also Greg, I liked Greg that Greg didn't do a good job. I thought to my when I see these things, I think to myself, how would I do in this situation? I could see myself doing well. I could see myself doing terrible.
Yeah.
And it's this one, like, it's a very awkward, vulnerable thing. I liked how Greg, while it was really weird and awkward, I don't think Greg really was like, this is going to work with someone. You know
what
I'm saying?
It's just you got to fill the time. You
just
got
to
do it.
Like, I don't know what the fuck to say. I'm going to talk about it. It was dumb and weird, but like, I had no problem with it. And he had some fun with it, and he seemed like a good sport.
Was there truth at any point in this game of Truth or Dare?
I don't believe that. Yeah.
It was just Dare.
What?
The evening was the truth portion.
But were there any questions?
They broke it up. It was all the Dare. I was wondering, because like when Michael was eating the Twinkies, I'm like, does he have an opt-out? Like, can he talk about like...
Right.
How many bases he has been to, maybe? You know?
That's how that game works.
Right?
So it was dares and then truths. Talk at night and say true things. But there were no questions.
No. And
questions are a big part of Truth or
Dare. But before we get into the night portion, Katie does tell the guys, let's be truthful tonight. Which plants the seed for Trey.
For Trey.
Who needs to stop drinking energy drinks.
Immediately.
This guy, he's always 100.
That's a problem.
He's constantly going.
Do they give you energy drinks on the set?
I think if you request them, they would definitely get them for you for sure. Yeah. Trey's, you know, he's the season's kind of go-to chirper. I find it fascinating. Speaking to your point of the show being on for so long.
Yeah.
Every season, they're able to find a guy or a girl, if it's The Bachelor, who is willing to be an absolute just narc.
I mean, it worked for Katie.
And it's not, and again, like, this is not like I'm sure the producers love it, don't get me wrong. But, you know, there's a lot of guys, like, I'm sure the producers went to Andrew and said, so what do you think of this Thomas stuff? And, yeah. and Andrew was like, I don't know, not my fucking problem. And yeah, they were like, okay. Yeah. And
Courtney, obviously.
And they asked the other guys, and Trey was just like, oh, yeah. And yeah. If Trey went to a producer and said, do you think I should say something? I don't think they told him no.
Sure.
But they still are able to find these guys who want to do this.
And
I don't get it. I don't understand.
Might they low-key sort of wind them up a little bit to do that?
I'm sure they do, but okay. I think they will maximize whatever you want. If you have a thought, they will make sure that you express yourself. Mm-hmm. But the thought is originated from that person.
I see.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's still their choice.
Right.
And I find it fascinating that these, like, every season they're able to find at least one and sometimes two guys who are just like, yeah, do you want me to narc? Do you want me to, I'll throw anyone under the bus.
Yeah.
I'm down. Hey, I'm having a really good time with you. By the way, this person sucks.
Yeah.
Like, immediately disqualifying them.
But literally everybody is down on Thomas.
Except for, like, Andrew S.
To the point of, actually, I think calling him evil.
No, it's absurd.
Evil.
And again, Andrew S. says, I believe in Katie. She will figure this out. And I loved how he delivered it because it came from such a place of sincerity. And he was just like pleading with these guys. Guys, let me ask you a simple question. Do we think Katie's smart? Do we think that she's an intelligent, capable woman? Do you think she's capable of asking questions and then listening and then figuring out for herself? And while she might not see everything, do we think that she's capable of, like, should she make her own decisions or should we tell her? I actually kind of hate...
It's a little patronizing to be like, you don't know how full of shit this guy is.
And I love that Mike Andrew said that because Mike was... And all the guys were just like, we should say something. And Mike goes, we narked on Carl. And look how happy she is now, like patting himself on the back. I was just like, ugh.
Yeah, it's gross.
It was kind of gross.
It's real gross. One of them speaks of something being the straw that broke the camelback, which I enjoyed. I didn't write down who said it. But like a camelback is like a... It's like a backpack that you wear that's full of water for long hikes.
Not a camel's back,
but it's the straw that broke the camel back.
It's hard for me to be critical because I know I've done so many of that, so much of that stuff.
Believe me, so have I, but that's when I go click, click, and start taking notes.
But yeah,
I'm bummed about that way.
I can't say enough about how well Andrew did. Andrew has the personality that I wish I had.
Oh, now why do you say that? You have a lovely personality.
I'm fine with my personality, and I love myself, and I have strengths and weaknesses. But like Andrew seems... If Andrew ended up being like this horrible person, I would bet everything I have that he's just... this is who he is. It's not an edit. He just... There's a quiet confidence that he has. Mm-hmm. He knows how to have fun. Mm-hmm. He embraces the moment. He seems like he's a pretty present guy.
He's an international pro football player.
You know, and he has all these reasons to have some, and I'm sure he has his shortcomings and whatever they are, but I was just so impressed by how, and then again, every single person was against him.
Right.
And we've talked so much about this world is a mob mentality. It is high school. Like, villains are created not so much about like what people say or do or producers the edit. It's often created by like whatever the house thinks. Whatever the house, it takes a little bit of spark, and if the house kind of like it's a flock of geese that kind of just flies in a certain direction, and there's your villain. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really need to be justified, right? It just there needs to be like just some sparks.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of fuel.
Yeah.
And Andrew is like, and it's so easy. And every season you see the mob just kind of go in that direction. Andrews is like, no.
Yeah. He's great. He's one to watch. And to your point, I wonder whether the mob won't next come for Aaron. Aaron seems like he's talking a lot of shit. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like he was kind of the ringleader, and yet he didn't really say anything to anyone except the guys, right?
What's most likely going to happen is that a big part of the mob will just by default go for Blake.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And
so this is an experience you have lived.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I'm watching this episode in this season, and I'm quite liking this season. Mm-hmm. I think Katie's doing an overall excellent job.
Yep.
I like that she doesn't have us guess what she thinks, whether I agree with everything she says or does. I just mm-hmm. like that she is open and honest, and she is focused on controlling her story. I think it is fantastic. There are so many similarities to the point where I wonder if there's a playbook about Caitlin Bristow's season.
Yeah.
And one that I am familiar with.
Uh-huh.
And this particular season, the beats are, if you go back and watch Caitlin's season and mm-hmm. you watch this season, it's almost too similar.
Interesting. So how was, I mean, I watched your experience, but how psychologically was your experience walking into that house?
Difficult.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Challenging. But one I expected mm-hmm. and one I knew. It's interesting because, like, you know, Blake, let's talk about Blake for a second. Like, I also, Tayshia did a huge favor for Blake.
Yeah.
I mean, what a nice thing. Tayshia didn't have to say that. I don't know how much Tayshia really got to know Blake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get for the life of me why the show does this. And that is this, like, and they did it with Chris Harrison and they're doing it with Tayshia. This idea that we can't just acknowledge that Blake had some conversation with at least one producer about coming on the show, and that's how he ended up, as opposed to, like, according to Tayshia, he reached out to Tayshia.
We don't believe that.
I don't doubt that at some point maybe there was a conversation between Blake
yeah.
and Tayshia, so that if asked, that there wouldn't have to be a lie.
Yeah.
But that is not how we got on.
And that's not how it started.
I do not get why the show insists on selling that narrative that no one fucking believes.
Yeah.
It's silly.
It does make it seem like there is a family, you know, and everyone's on a big group text or yeah. whatever. You're all cousins yeah, at a big family reunion.
And again, to your point, where I get why 15 years ago they did that
yeah.
when reality TV, you know, the behind the scenes wasn't as readily known. But, like, we know.
Yeah.
We know.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, even in this episode, they, you know, five years ago, and certainly when the show started, you never saw, like, behind the scenes of Katie talking to producer and them. They didn't even acknowledge that producers existed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they wanted, it was just like, these are just people we throw in a room and we're just, like, filming it like the Truman Show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's fine that we know that now. And
of course,
people still love the show and it's great, but I don't get why they insist on that storyline of Blake called up Tayshia and was like, hey, listen, I know we had a thing, but, like, I love Katie.
Uh-huh.
And
they
I don't
should
get it.
Respect the audience a little bit more than that. And also, it doesn't diminish my enjoyment of what is happening, like thinking that he called a producer or whatever.
No.
Who cares?
Of course, yes.
It's all part of the machine.
Yes.
Right?
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's totally fine. Watching it back and watching Katie's reaction.
Yeah.
When I talked to Katie, she had mentioned that, and she even said there were some DMs passed. Right? Okay. And I have, first of all, I have no problem. Now, when I showed up for Caitlin's season,
uh-huh.
I was obviously asked. And what I told the guys and what I told America was, we definitely talked
uh-huh.
a bit. But I wanted to protect Caitlin.
Yeah.
I wanted to protect myself, I guess, to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
And I 100% downplayed just how much we talked and just how intense our little love affair was.
Yeah.
And watching Katie's reaction to Tayshia showing up and her reaction to Blake, I'm just like, these motherfuckers talked probably as much as Caitlin and I talked.
Uh-huh.
I, you know, Katie got nervous. I want to ask Katie, did she think it was Blake when Tayshia mentioned someone's here? I want to ask her, did she yeah. hope it was Blake? Because she started crying. And now maybe Katie could have been like, well, I'm just emotional. I don't doubt that she's tired, emotional. It's a difficult position to be in.
Right.
I'm sure she's aware. Katie's a fan of the show. She's been watching it for years. She knows that this person is, if she decides to keep them, she's going to have to face difficult questions with the guys,
yeah.
and she's going to have a bit of a target on her back. So I can appreciate why that's emotional.
Yeah.
But if she truly doesn't know who this is, what if it's Yosef from Claire's season?
Okay.
The terrible person who, you remember Yosef?
Sort of.
Who kind of just...
Well, sort of.
What if it's
Tell
Luke
me about
Parker?
Yosef. Show me Yosef.
Yosef, the guy who just gaslit Claire on the Mentel All and basically called her an old
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Just,
are we pulling up Yosef?
Truly wretched.
And then
I came back for the mental all and had the opportunity to be like, hey, I gotta, I wasn't my best self. And I'm sorry. No, but tripled down and just tried to, and just to the point where you're just like, why would you do this to yourself?
Yosef. Here's Yosef from Claire Crawley. Yes. Okay. Yes. I remember Yosef.
So what if it's Yosef? What if it's Luke Parker? There are a handful of men that could have shown up.
Yeah.
And Kate had been like, yeah, it's week four. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can't do this.
I'm like, eh. But no, she cried.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
something's up.
I want to hear it. Yeah. And I think it's okay. Caitlin and I walk so Katie and Blake could run. You know, you could just.
What a beautiful thing.
Let's not have us here over the next year and a half, 2 years. Like, you know, Caitlin and I, we're not going to get flamed by Bachelor Nation for like doing a human thing and talking. Like, yeah. Fine. Yeah. We talked a shit ton.
Okay. It, now the truth can be told.
I just don't see how she didn't have a lot of conversations with him.
Well, so now he will be in the house and he will be potentially ostracized and demonsterized.
Yes.
When everyone is hanging out together in a mansion and you are on the outside, what do you do? Because there's a lot of shots of like Thomas last night just sitting in a chair by himself,
yeah,
which made me feel awful. It's
a horrible feeling.
Yeah, it was like I had like sixth grade flashbacks.
You know they're talking about you. It's high school. It's terrible. I'm really thankful. Like when I showed up, you know, I showed up and it was like, all the guys on the opposite side of the wall and me on a couch, like this oversized couch where I'm sitting on, just to like really let you know I'm by myself.
Yeah.
Tough questions. And I was fortunate because like guys like Jared and Ben, I mean, honestly, other than Sean, most of the guys were like, hey man, welcome. You seem all right. And throughout the season, some of them definitely stabbed me in the back and talked some shit, but they were, and I suspect that most of the guys will probably be like that to Blake. We're like, I don't know. We won't see that, I don't think.
Uh-huh.
And there will certainly be guys who take exception with Blake. Yeah. I am curious who, though, right? Because on my season, it was the clear frontrunner and Sean, which made it like that much more compelling that the guy who was running away with Caitlin's heart is the one guy who truly hated me. And so Greg... You know, will Greg take exception to Blake? Will Greg be threatened by Blake? I don't know because, you know, we saw Katie do something. You know, when Katie talked to Greg this episode, it was very telling. I mean, Greg is a clear front runner.
Right.
There's no second. Not even close.
I would put Connor B in there.
She likes him.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
He's nice.
Mm-hmm.
She likes Andrew S.
Okay.
She liked Thomas, but Katie sat down with Greg and asked how he's doing. She checked in with Greg. How you feeling?
Okay.
Anything I could do to make this experience? Because if you leave, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
Because my heart, you already have my heart.
Okay.
And if you go,
your expert analysis,
I'm going to freak out.
Is truly.
I've been there.
I mean,
it's a weird feeling because once your heart goes a certain direction, you start panicking.
Right.
About what if they leave?
Yeah.
What if they don't like me back? Oh my God, I'm the bachelorette. I'm the bachelor. I'm supposed to have all these people pursuing me. I'm supposed to have choices. And all I care about is one person liking me. Okay. It's a very terrifying feeling. Mm-hmm. And she's checking in with Greg. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, again, she might be checking in with other guys we didn't get to see, but.
Okay. Wow. I had not considered that at all.
And if she only has a limited time with Greg, which she probably does, because Greg's first impression rose, first one-on-one.
Right.
Greg can't cannibalize all this time. It's a TV show. We need to get to know these other guys.
Yeah.
And if all Katie talks about with Greg, her front runner, is, are you okay? They're going to have to air that.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. These are things I had not considered at all. I thought he was a front runner, but I didn't. He, for me, did not emerge as the front runner.
Yeah, I think he's.
Okay.
I think it's a guy, and okay. I think Caitlin's already getting in her head about what happens if he leaves. I was in my head about Vanessa.
Uh huh.
I think other leads have been in their head about their front runners.
Yeah.
And they like other people. They really do. They feel a connection. You know, I think Katie really likes Michael.
Yeah.
But not like Greg.
Okay. So then what happens if he does?
Well, then. I mean, if Vanessa left, like, I don't know. I would have been like, how could I be sincere and get engaged to anyone else?
Yeah.
And I do believe that Katie wants to, like most leads, She's filming a TV show. She knows it. She's doing her job, but she wants this to be an authentic experience for her.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you run into some trouble.
Wow. All right. Well, she kicked off a couple of people who I had my eye on.
Who?
Connor C. Hadn't seen a lot of personality from Connor C, but he's a handsome guy.
He is. Yeah, he is a handsome guy.
I was waiting to see more from him. And Christian, who, thank you. I heard a yes.
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 Well, she's a Boston gal. And
okay.
Well, Christian was Heather McDonald's. Like, she thought Christian was going to be in a run for the next Bachelor.
He looks like Judge Reinhold playing James Spader.
Yes.
It's wild.
He does.
He's just got a lovely vibe about him. He's very handsome. He's like wholesome, but he also kind of comes off like he's drunk. I don't know. I liked him a lot.
It's the Boston charm. Yeah, it's like rowdy and charm. Classy. Yeah.
Yes, at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You went to like a fancy school, but like you'll have a gin and tonic at 10 in the morning.
He's Chuck Bass.
I went to school with a lot of those people. Yeah, he has a Chuck Bass effect. Yeah, I like him a lot.
Katie did not, though.
Yeah, that's a shame. That is a real shame.
Yeah, and Connor C has he has a handsomeness that sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
He like a couple, you know, you're just like, who's this pretty good looking guy?
Yeah.
Like, why are we not seeing he
former baseball player from Costa Mesa? Yeah. That's a catch. That's a catch, if you ask me. He was I was waiting to see more and never really did. Oh well.
I watched this episode twice. Was there not a one-on-one?
This was the end of last episode, so we didn't get a rose ceremony. So we saw the first group date and the one-on-one last episode.
No,
and this episode
we saw
the second
group
date.
Because of how it rolled from the opening with the
thing, I didn't think
to the group date to this.
I thought about that.
It'll be next week.
So
with who? Or do we don't know yet?
Let's wrap up the group. So you know, in class, like, here's how I classify roses. Mm-hmm. There are love roses.
Yes.
And there are drama roses.
Okay.
Now, almost all one-on-one roses are love roses.
All right.
They're sincere.
And so far the one-on-ones have been Greg.
Greg. Who else?
Michael.
Andrew.
Andrew.
No, Andrew got a group date rose.
Michael.
Connor B.
Oh, yeah, I think there's only been two.
Right? Two.
That's nuts.
But Connor B had a rose?
No. Michael.
Has there only been two one-on-ones and we're at four episodes in? That can't be right.
Yeah, because of the way they're nuts. Ending it.
That's why it's a good season.
In the middle of an episode after a group date.
That's why it's such
ceremony.
It's such a good season.
There's time jumps. It's like
So there's love roses and drama roses.
Yes.
And almost exclusively the one-on-ones, you can assume they're love roses. Sure, Katie advancing her relationships. Mm-hmm. Group dates. There are some love roses and there's some drama roses.
Drama roses.
And this was the most drama rose of all time by Trey being rewarded for advancing a story.
Trey, Hunter, in his way, feels very much like a let's keep this guy around.
Oh, yeah.
To stir
But I'm just specifically speaking
up.
To the rose that Trey got in the group date
rose.
You know, which was so defeating for Andrew because you knew, like Andrew knew, he's like, I know I'm right. I know.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew couldn't believe it. And even how Andrew handled the disappointment of Trey, I also thought was classy. I just can't say enough about how Andrew performed this episode. But yes, it was a drama rose of the highest degree.
Yeah.
And then we moved into essentially the Thomas, really the rest of the episode was about Thomas and the drama and Blake. Katie and Blake met. He's like, If we connect the way I think we do, we will be engaged. I mean,
that's intense.
Felt like a show line. I was a little bummed by that line because
intense.
Like, I don't doubt that you either A, you guys have been hanging out and have already hooked up, or B, that was a line that was a little showy in a sense. Uh-huh. Like, can't you just be like, I think we will be, I don't know what I said, but it was just like, I'm sure I said something like, I think. It was a classic, like, I like you, hold on, I gotta, like, Katie's like, but just so you know, there's other connections, and I don't know, and I gotta make it sound like we didn't, like, I'm not super thrilled, and of course you're gonna stay, like I don't,
yeah,
you know, that whole, like, routine, but Blake did the whole, like, I think we will be engaged, which I felt was a little aggressive and a little unnecessary.
Yeah.
He could have just been like, I think we might be
Well, listen.
It'll be worthwhile.
They've caught him in the middle of the night. He didn't even have a robe.
Just out of curiosity, who did he think was going to be at the door?
Yeah.
And if it's not Katie, that's fine. Housekeeping, yeah, or yeah. Room service.
Yeah, it's like when
a nurse testing for COVID. Yeah. Like
the when Katie got a knock on the door and it was Tayshia talking about Blake. Katie said there was a knock on my door and the last person I expected to see was Tayshia. Really?
Oh, I thought about that too. The last person.
The host of the show that
you're
on?
One of your mentors?
The last person?
Yes.
That you thought?
I literally said the same thing. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me.
Annie Lennox of the Eurythmics was not the last person you would have expected to see. Colonel Sanders?
Yeah.
There are a lot of people I would expect to see.
What are you?
Less than the host of the show that I'm currently on.
Yeah.
Where there are cameras in my room.
Not the best acting on Katie's
part.
Not
great.
But you know what?
Not great.
It's not supposed to be her thing. She's here to be...
Listen, she's here to love. She's here to love.
Yeah, great point.
Okay, so I mean, obviously, a dramatic moment, perhaps the most dramatic rose ceremony ever, when she has one rose left, and she calls Thomas.
Did you
people lose their minds?
Like how Katie handled that?
Not at all.
Neither did I.
No, not at all.
I hated it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna ask Katie about it.
Yeah,
I love Katie as a bachelorette. I think she's doing an excellent job.
Yeah.
It felt unnecessary and mean. She said...
And mean.
She said...
called him a liar.
Thomas, you told me things I wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm. So did...
True...
Everyone else.
...statement. I can stand by that. I understand how she felt that.
Sure.
Justified thing to say.
Yes.
What I learned about you tonight is... You're selfish? Maybe.
Uh-huh.
You could accuse him of admitting that, like, I'm here for my relationship with... Katie, I guess if I have to be honest, I'm going to focus on my relationship with Katie more than I'm going to be concerned about your relationship with Katie. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we can accuse Thomas of being selfish. Unkind. Where's that coming from? Because I met Thomas, and while I thought he was full of shit, he literally told me that he loved me on Andy's season of The Bachelorette. Very kind thing to say.
Yes.
Total full of shit.
Yeah.
But kind.
So you'll like him forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. When people say they voted for me on MTV, yeah. I'm like, you're great.
And a liar.
I don't care if you've committed murder. You're great.
A liar. I don't understand the lying part.
Yeah.
He might be guilty of coming on to be a bachelor. He might, but like he's the only one who didn't lie this episode.
Yes.
In fact, when Katie asked him, well, I heard this whole bachelor thing. Thomas said verbatim what he said in the group session that I was there, what he said to the guys. And again, this is all taped. So like he said word for word what he said to the guys.
Yeah.
He didn't paraphrase.
No.
I completely disagree. Like, I think Katie was so justified to do what she did because we talk a lot about on the show about like people who will use big words like manipulating or gaslighting without, uh-huh. And she broke it down based on what she knew. She knew that he was a sweet talker who was always telling people in the house what they wanted to hear in a way that was not authentic or honest. And I think she had every right to say, just so you know, like I am regaining control of this season. And like it clearly hit a really deep insecurity thinking he was there for the like incorrect reasons.
I don't doubt that. But again, I empathize with Katie as I do with any lead because again, I think she got gassed up by everyone. When she had that sit down with Caitlin and Tayshia, Caitlin and Tayshia,
yeah.
They were just gassing her up.
Yeah.
They came in there to just talk shit about Thomas.
It escalated so quickly from like, oh, this guy says nice things to people to get them to like him, which to he's vulnerable or to he's manipulative. To
manipulative.
He's
we
evil.
Heard that.
Evil.
Yeah. Evil.
I don't think he's evil.
And I just don't understand. Like, send him home. But like the whole, and again, you know, that's not Katie's fault that they're like put on extra rose that wasn't going to be given out, and she stepped back.
Uh-huh.
And again, she's playing a role. She's doing her job.
Yep.
And that's the thing, you know. Like, I don't fault the lead ever, but Katie is. That's the hardest part about this role is that she so desperately, I assume, because I've been in that situation, wants this to be a truly authentic experience.
Uh-huh.
Every fight that she probably, and everyone fights with the production to a certain extent, it's this tension of like, this is my life.
Yeah.
And I want to like be authentic to certain things as a lead she has to like just do because it's a weird thing to date 30 guys.
Sure.
Not normal. No one chooses to do that. And so, again, I'm not... I just didn't like it. And all Thomas did, like the whole episode was Thomas trying to dig himself out of a hole. He got himself in by being honest,
by just doing the right thing.
When I was, when Thomas said what he said in group session, I didn't like, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, oh, thanks for, yeah, mm-hmm. good for you. I honestly didn't think he had it any to admit to that, and he did.
Yeah.
And again, Katie can send him home. And I,
but like, yeah, it doesn't have to be a thing. Like, that was shaming.
She shamed him in front of what is ultimately going to be America yeah. and the guys. And it was just, and I don't understand. Where is he unkind?
Yeah, he was perfectly nice and perfectly honest. And yet she says, you're a liar. Get out of my Native American craft museum right now.
I it felt like an overplay of the hand. I also, and I've said this, I don't, I'll say it'll happen. And Katie won't be the last. She's certainly not the first. But when Thomas and Katie were talking,
yeah,
Thomas definitely interrupted her, was not okay. Uh-huh. And when you, people in a relationship fight, there are some talking over each other. I don't like it when the bachelorette scolds the guys, when she's let me talk. And she, you know, didn't scream at him, but raised her voice a bit. Mm-hmm. Talked to him like, not necessarily her equal, mm-hmm. but talked to her like, I'm the bachelorette and yeah. you don't do that. Again, she won't be the last. It's just not my favorite. We're a podcast that talks a lot about relationships. Yeah. And if Katie were to call, like, I would just be like, listen, if someone called in and played a tape of this fight, be like, hey, you know, I'm just fighting with my boyfriend. And like, is there something I could have done better? I would have been like, I just don't see how, like, just say, hey, please don't interrupt me. I'm talking, mm-hmm. you know, but like, that's not how she said it. And there's a lot of pressure because again, I'm guessing, and we're recording this before we see it. A lot of people are gonna love Katie for it. They're gonna right. love her for it. But it feels performative.
And yeah, it speaks to brand building, right? Yeah. Like, hey, I'm a, you know, I stand up for myself, and I don't yeah. take any shit from the Thomases of the world and that kind of thing. And so when I graduate to my own show after this is over, which she of course is thinking about, right? That doesn't mean that she's not there for the right reasons. You're just thinking about what comes next.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you have to scold anybody on your season? I don't recall.
Well, that's the other thing, right? If any bachelor ever talked to a girl yeah. like that,
yeah.
they would be crucified by natural. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone should talk to their partner that way.
Yeah.
In this kind of condescending, you know, I'm the boss. Yeah. I mean, this is about a show about relationships. And so that's the hard part. And yeah, it's not realistic and is a silly TV show. But all these relationships are supposed to be 50-50.
Right.
Well, unless you're Mike, who thinks it's supposed to be 100-100, which is what he's trying to say yeah. is that you're supposed to do 100% of your half. But
sure. It's supposed to have a double relationship at all time.
Yeah.
Twice a relationship.
And so it's just the point of, I don't love it. And again, no, I'm not criticizing Katie specifically. So many bachelorettes have done it before her, and so many more will do it after her. I don't like it. I don't love it. There's a lot of things that men need to work on that are stereotypes of things they get wrong often in relationships, and this is one thing I just don't particularly love.
Okay. This hits you deeply.
I think we need to like try to, again, it's about respect. If you're and at this point, I get where Katie's coming from because she, at this point, she's probably angry.
Yeah.
I know when I was there, it was clear she liked Thomas. Mm-hmm. And Thomas was giving all this attention and validation. And only to hear about your being lied and manipulated by someone, I would be mad.
Sure.
So I get where Katie's coming from. Again, I think so much of what Katie is finding out, she's hearing through third party. When the bachelor or bachelorette watches the show back, they're finding a lot of new information. And so I don't fault Katie as much as I fault everyone else who lied to her. Uh-huh. She was lied to. Trey said he came here, he admitted to coming here to be the bachelor. That is not
what
Thomas
said. That's not what he said. That's not what he said.
At all. And while it sounds like, oh, what's the difference? There's a huge fucking difference.
Right. Everybody's thinking about it. Everybody's thinking about it. It crosses your mind.
Yes. There's such a huge difference in the meaning of that word. And Trey flat out lied.
This is some bullshit.
And I'm just wondering if Katie watching it back with a critical eye, uh-huh. and I don't think Katie was ever going to end up with Thomas. It's just more what I would have wished for is that Katie got to do what Andrew wanted Katie to do, is find out for herself.
Yeah.
So that when watching this episode back, she wouldn't have to find that she was lied to by the other man in the house, and at least to some degree made her decisions based off lies that she was told.
Mm-hmm. Telling you, it's gonna be a good man tell-all.
And I don't. And again, and I'm just coming from a guy who I thought my impression with Thomas was that he was full of shit.
Who else did you meet, by the way, this season? You said you met nine of the
guys. Just the guys on the date. That's all I met.
Okay. Oh, right. Of course. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Justice for Thomas. Okay. Again. That's like he's perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's a bit of a sweet talker. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's capable of being full of shit and gets in his head, but and can be disingenuous 100%. He can be, but like, damn, he got fucking roasted for it. And I do love how the show aired this episode, because I personally think they aired it in a way where I bet there will be a lot of people that feels like this seems unright, unjustified. Yeah. I don't get where this is coming from.
This is asymmetrical.
And I like that the show showed a situation where it was clearly the guy. I like how they aired it. I think they did a good job. Right. And, and in a weird way, it's going to seem like Thomas will be okay for it.
Yeah.
It's not his best look, but like they left the door open for there to be for some disagreements on who do you side with. Mm-hmm. Okay. Amanda sides with the house.
I wouldn't say that I side with the house. I think you just put words in her mouth. I just support Katie's decision to set the tone and say, this is how I'm going to do it. This is what I'm going to take. This is not what I'm going to take. I'm going to do it in front of everyone so you know exactly what's happening. Right. And the other thing I would just say is that like you talked a lot about how this season – the people who applied to be on the season did it before they knew who the Bachelorette was. Yeah. So instead of maybe making it an innocent until proven guilty, I think maybe we switch it to more of like a guilty until proven innocent.
Katie has the right to do that. I don't know. I wouldn't recommend anyone do that in any relationship.
So wait.
That relationships are about taking risks. And if you go in thinking everyone's a liar and a cheater and disingenuous, you're going to be limiting yourself to truly connect. That's the risk you take. When they asked me to be a bachelor, I was thinking about this last night. I was sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
When they asked me, because it was just like, I knew what they were asking me. What they were asking me is to get engaged in 9 weeks based off of people they were going to select mostly for a TV show.
Uh-huh. Gee, and they did know it was you going in.
No, I mean they asked me. They were casting for Luke whole time.
The contestants.
No, they had no idea.
The batch. Showing. At what point did they find out it was you?
When I was announced.
Okay, but they had already been cast.
Oh my, yeah. I mean, that casting process was going on for months. They asked. I found out, like 2-3 weeks before we started filming.
Really?
And it was just a weird. It was a weird situation a lot of things had to happen where I became this surprising fan favorite on Paradise. Meanwhile, Luke Pell was digging himself a hole, and they were just like, fuck it. Let's just go with Nick.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, and, my God. I hadn't thought about Luke in ages.
Yeah. So it's just one of those random things. And I empathize with – it's so hard to be the lead. I'll say this all the time. I will always defend the leads just because they're put in such a difficult position.
Yeah.
But I am curious. I'm going to ask Katie. I wonder if she watches it back. Does she wish she would have done things differently? There are things I wish I would have done things differently. You find out things to be like, oh, yeah.
What do you wish you'd done differently?
I'll have to think about. Okay. Well, I definitely wouldn't have gotten the bouncy castle. I wouldn't have done that.
Okay.
I would regret that. Okay. I wish I'd have. A lot of the stuff with Corinne, I was trying not to be a dick.
Yeah.
Corinne brought out the whipped cream. She put it like on the top of her chest. Oh, and I was like, I don't want to make her feel silly, so I'll play along.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have been like, hey, I like you.
Yeah. Let's not bounce.
Let's not, but it's a fine line. How do you, I don't know how I would have, so like little stuff like that. I mean, it's slightly different than what I'm talking about. Right. But you find out things in the house of drama going on, I mean, a lot of stuff, some of the drama that happened on my season, like there was fights between Vanessa and Rachel that we never got to see. But I found that out after filming.
Okay.
I didn't know about that stuff.
Interesting. But, and you also know who's in Paradise right now.
I know I've heard some rumors. Okay. I will tell you everything I know when we get done.
Am I warm? Am I getting warm? Nobody can see. Am I warm?
I don't know if he's there.
Okay.
I doubt he's there. I mean, these guys who are going home now are a combination of Katie's not into them and they're not adding any value.
Not adding value.
I mean, again, Trey is adding value.
Yes, he is.
He's getting roses. I don't think Katie's into Trey.
Okay.
You know.
So Trey, in fairness, is what you're saying? Maybe?
Maybe.
Okay. All right. Maybe. Rematch in paradise? David Spade for some reason? What's that about?
I don't know.
That seems like you want to go less problematic from a...
I don't know.
Chris Harrison. Where David Spade seems more, doesn't he?
I don't know.
Okay. No. We don't have to talk about it now. Yeah. We can talk about it off
camera. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
Nothing. Other than that one more time, really left me emotionally vulnerable.
Yeah. Oh, a couple. Hunter,
yeah.
Hunter said something like, if Thomas stays, this will be like hell.
This will be like hell. Was that Hunter?
It was, I forgot the exact quote, but it was, hell was just like, it could be worse than hell. And I'm like, what could be?
The whole concept of hell is that there's nothing worse.
Could be worse.
Yeah.
Hunter, a lot of hyperbolic statements.
Sure.
About how, and then also like Hunter, I haven't seen any conversations between you and Katie.
Right.
So isn't Hunter just as guilty as Thomas for calling Katie his girl, talking about his connection?
Yeah.
Where is this from?
Where is this coming from?
Hunter.
We're getting a lot of Hunter next week, it will appear.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for it. There's a rage within. Yeah. There's a little guy anger.
Yes, there seems to be a bit of Napoleon syndrome. Yeah. Hey, just so you guys know, I'm competitive and I'm going to basically... we'll get into that, I'm sure, next week, but like that is performative. Hunter sees, and it looks like it's Blake he injures.
It's possible. Yeah.
Let's assume it's Blake. It could be wrong. It seemed like Blake. So Hunter is this assuming that Blake, just like when I got in there, I was the bad guy by default. All the guys thought they should yell at me, so they did yell at me.
Oh, that's got to be fun.
It's not fun.
Yeah.
But Hunter is thinking he should yell at Blake. He's not sitting there being like, I don't know, maybe this guy has a genuine connection.
Right.
You know, maybe I should just give him a benefit of the doubt. Why am I assuming he's a bad guy?
Yeah.
And he thinks he's going to be justified by like spearheading him in the back while playing rugby.
But yeah, some sort of like weird singlet Quidditch rugby thing I'm curious to see what that is. Yeah. I'm also curious to get into this aggressive tattoo that the guy has. We've seen some, we have not seen all. There's a lot going on there.
Well, I think it speaks to his competitive nature.
His deeply competitive nature. He can withstand pain. And it'll break your back.
Anyway.
On live television.
It's been a fantastic season so far.
It really has. It really has.
I always love talking with you.
Likewise. Enjoy your July 4th.
You as well. Anything else you can let us know what you're doing, what you're working on?
I don't know if I can say it yet. I'm working on a new podcast that's coming out in October. But we'll talk about it later.
Please come back.
I would love
for
to.
Michelle's season.
Oh, and, my God, and promote it. When is Michelle's season?
Sorry. I think we'll be recapping around October.
Okay. So wait, it's Katie, then Paradise.
So Paradise, I think, starts in August.
Great.
It'll bleed.
Not a moment too soon.
Yeah. Well, either way.
Dying for Paradise. I've never needed it worse.
I think it's going to be good.
I think it's going to be a good one.
Dave, thanks so much.
Nick, thank you.
Guys, thanks for listening. Appreciate you choosing us, one of 1,792 Bachelorette Recap podcasts that are available for you to listen to. And
this is the only one.
Thank you for choosing us. Don't forget, we have Katie tomorrow. We'll be asking her some hard-hitting questions.
This is very exciting.
Also, we will be spending a lot of time just getting to know Katie.
Great.
The person outside of the show.
Well, please say hello for me. I'm a fan.
I will. Can't thank you enough. Don't forget to send in your questions at asknick@castme.com, cast with a K. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back in, I don't know, 24 hours. Bye.